things that you need to understand is this. Church is a great place, and we love churches. Sunday's a big part of what we do. It's a great, great time to be together, to be encouraged, to be built up, to be equipped, right, to do works of ministry. But to really be part of the church, really, like, the best thing is to be part of some small group, to get involved with some people on a more personal level. So, like, I mean, this is an opportunity for some ladies or some other things going on. Checking your bulletins. I mean, we have a certain amount of small groups now. If we need to get more going, we'll get more going. But there's a lot of stuff happening. But it's a lot of, you know, like, I really have a dream. And it's a dream, Jesus' dream, when he said, Father, make them one so the world will know that you sent me. And really, the way we become one is as we do life together. As we get to know each other on a personal level, as we get to care for each other, as we get to know each other's victories and each other's struggles. And so be part of a small group somewhere. Whether right now there's, you know, one going on. I mean, there's a bunch of people right now in a drama small group. That group's done. It's closed. You can't join. Too late. So sad. But there's a group going on in Cayuga. There's a group going on in Dunville. We have our youth small group. We have our young adult small group. There's a bunch of stuff happening. Plug in somewhere. Bob's got a group here going on Thursday mornings. If you're a guy and you got some time on Thursday mornings, come on out and work with them. There's just a lot of opportunity to be together. Take opportunity. We're not just trying to get you into a small group because we want to say, well, we have this many people in small groups. I don't really care about that. Whoever shows up is who we're going to run with. But for your own life and for you being part of the church, it's get involved with something. Get involved with the Forever Young. Forever Young is an amazing group of people. I know John was talking about honor, but I'm going to tell you, like, a lot of these people I've done life with since I was a young person, you know? Like, I've been here since I was 14, and I remember when most came. But, like, you know, there's some great people here that are seniors, that are just amazing people. And some you wouldn't even guess were seniors, you know? Like, I was with Frank again this weekend. Me and Frank have been hanging out a bit lately. but, like, the guy's, like, I don't know, are you sensitive about your age? No, right? If I look as good as you when I'm 62, I'll be like, if I looked as good as you now, I'd be happy. but, like, guy's 62 years old. He's, like, looks like he's 40 still. But he's, you know, like, I get to work here with Harold. Like, I'm here on Thursdays with the guys. I don't generally help that much. I generally waste their time a bit talking. but, like, you know, Harold's a man who loves God. He's passionate. Him and Beth have served God and loved God together for a long, long time. They're a huge part of Jubilee. And we get to honor them on that day, so honor. But, like, you know what? Take some time to get to know people. Like, you know, like, over the last couple years, Jerry and Lori, I've got to know them, and they're just such a huge blessing to me and to this church. You know, John and Kathy have been here forever. George and Jill, these are great men and women that love God with their heart, with their passion, with their soul. My mom and Nick and Bob and Lorraine, and, like, there's just so many. And like, you know what, we talk a lot about the young people, and I'm sorry if it seems like that's all I ever talk about. It's just I'm working with them all the time, so I know more, right? But like, be part together of this band of people that God's called together to really reach a community for Christ. But don't just attend on Sundays. Be part of it. Get to know your brothers and sisters. Get to know them and love them. It's a blessing. It's such a huge blessing. Really would value your prayers right now. We just really sort of had an explosion in our youth group over the last couple of weeks. Like, I think this past week, I think we had 13 kids that I don't really even know their names hardly. They just turned up out of the woodwork over the last few weeks, and there's a lot of them that don't know Jesus and need to know Jesus, and we're really just trying to process that through. Really need your prayer that God will give us wisdom and help us to know how to connect with these kids and really lead them to Jesus. We had a couple that came real close on Thursday night, and we're just believing God for a great harvest in the youth, but also in every age group. So, like, even when we're doing this dinner, invite some of your friends that are seniors out, seasoned citizens out with you, so that they can just get to know God's people and love them, all right? So it's just, like, been a big infomercial now this morning for a while. Let's go home. No. I love church. I love God's house. And we're in this series called Why We. And I realize more and more there's things that we once held true, once it held as huge values in our life, that over time you just sort of live life and things just get going and you just slide into cruise control. You just slide into a kind of sense of done this, I don't need to think about it anymore, I could just go through the motions. The statement I made a couple weeks ago was the most dangerous thing for us as Christians is when we learn how but forget why. When we learn how but we forget why. And we are like, as I said, this weekend we were with all the men together and like just the honor, we're talking about honor. And really how honor is so important. One of my favorite scriptures is God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Well, humility comes before honor. So as we humble ourselves, we can honor each other. But there's just, you know, like just realizing the power of honor and really just turning up honor in my life and honoring, you know, like Christine for, like, not only that she's a great mom and that she's a good woman of God, but that, you know what, she encourages me. There's been a lot of times where if it wasn't for Christine, I couldn't do what I do. There's been a lot of times where, you know, she's just had to pick me up, you know, dust me off and say, Ralph, it's going to be okay. Life's going to be all right. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do it together. And like, you know what, I honor her for that. She's an amazing woman, strong woman. She loves God. She has a personal relationship with God. But there's so many things that we do that are really important to our walk with God and to our life with Jesus that we've allowed to slip into cruise control. We've allowed it to become less important than what it is. We haven't fully engaged our hearts and minds in the process of what we're doing. And we need to get back and really, you know, like the Bible says, walk circumspectly. Right? I always think, I had this boxer. She's gone now. But, you know, like whenever she was going to lay down somewhere, she'd walk in a circle. She'd walk in a circle and then she'd plop down, right? Well, that's circumspect. That's looking around you, going around you, looking at what's around there and living life carefully and on purpose, right? So, like, don't just rush into your day. Don't just rush into things, but take every time some time to think about what you're doing and why you're doing it. It's important for us to live that way. If we're going to live for God in any way, like I said, the only way to live as a Christian is to live all out. Well, doing that takes intensity of thought and engagement of our minds. Like, I just think of, this past week, I really believe that God's doing amazing things in the life of this church, but in the church in Dunville. God's called us together there as men, as pastors together. We're loving each other. We're caring about each other. Like, we have guys from Cuga, Waynefleet, all around. So this whole area is covered. And we're banding together and we're trusting God for some great things. But one of the things God really laid on my heart this past week this past month or so, it was one of the reasons when I was in L.A. with Jack Hayford, I really just wanted to ask some questions. And really, is like, what is prayer for? Like, what is the value of prayer? What do we do in prayer? And I know, like, that sounds like a stupid question, but there are some things that it's not just saying, Lord, thank you for this food. There's something that happens when we pray, and that's what we're going to talk about today, why we pray. But like, this Tuesday, we sat down with our prayer. We have a Tuesday morning prayer group. If you have time and you love God and you can spare some time to pray, then come pray with us. But we were just talking about, you know, the strongholds in our area, because we really believe that God wants to reach people in Haldeman, in Lincoln, in West Lincoln, in Niagara for him and his kingdom. And we're just talking about what are the strongholds of this region and what is the lie that's been supporting these strongholds? What lie is the devil told that we bought into and believed? And then how can we tear these things apart? And it was really kind of a real strategy kind of meeting about how to pray, what to pray, what can we do? Well, this week has been like, I just have seen so many things that have been just ripping my heart apart and discouraging me. It's a battle that we're in, and I feel like I'm faith, but I've just seen a lot of Christians do some really stupid things. Like, really, really stupid things that are hurtful to the body of Christ. Like, no thought, no circumspect in it. And people, like, I sat with a guy the other day for 3 hours that I've mentored and prayed with and for 20 years worked at trying to, like, help this guy to walk with Jesus. And like, this Christian did something that was so stupid. And really, like the guy said, I feel like I've been set back 20 years in my walk with God. And I'm like, well, you know, again, it's not the other person. You still got to forgive. You still got to move on. And we worked through a lot of that process. Got off the phone on Friday morning. I had a call, and, you know, just somebody that was a Christian did something that was so stupid and so hurtful to another Christian. I got off the phone, and I'm sitting in my office, and I'm just weeping and saying, God, why are we so stupid? Like, why do we do such stupid things as Christians? Why don't we be more careful? Why don't we think more? Why don't we engage our hearts and our minds in how we deal with each other and how we deal with people and how we deal with kingdom things? You know, and like, the thing is, though, if we're going to do that, we have to remember not only how, but why. Why do we do what we do? You know, we have to think about things like when we make this choice, right? It might feel good for today. There's some things that feel good in the moment. But when we make this choice, what's this choice going to look like a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now, or a year from now? And I would guess this, that as God's people, that a lot of times we do not engage fully in prayer. That a lot of times we go through the motions. We've talked a lot about the Word of God and our need to read the Word of God and to hear the voice of God through His Word. But we also need to understand the power and the need for prayer in our life. And it's not just like the old, you know, faithful, like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep kind of prayers. But it's actually conversing with God and talking to God. I was talking to a young man last weekend, and he was talking about, you know, he was away on a holiday and God was speaking, and just he was having a great time and enjoying it. He was saying, like, you know, I had some things to sort out at work. And kind of was, work was a little whack, so I was good for me to be away. And I said, so did you get some time to pray about it? And he said, like, you know what, I never thought about it. He's a new believer. He's walking with God. He said, I never thought about it. But then the next day, we prayed about it. Next day, he's like, it's amazing the doors that God opens when we pray. When we pray, and God hears us. When we pray, God responds. When we pray, God is waiting for us to pray. There's just so much value. So I just want to go through this. I don't want to get all lost in it. But the first, most important, I think, reason we pray is to grow in intimacy with God. Is to grow in intimacy with God. Think about this. The God of the universe, the God who spoke words and created things, who said, let there be rivers and lakes and streams, and the water separated itself from the dry land, and it was there. He spoke, and it was. He said, let there be, like, animals and fish and birds, and there was. And he said, let there be trees and bushes and all kinds of living plants, and there was. And let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. And this God, wants to have a relationship with you and with me. Do you get it? Like, that's amazing. This weekend I was at, you know, a conference at Koinonia. And, like, if you're a pastor, there's kind of cool things that once in a while you get to be part of. And not always, right? Because you go to big conferences and there's a lot of people there, but there's some people that you really would like to connect with. And there's some rooms that are only for certain people, you know, and it's like, sounds weird. But, you know, like there's always kind of like, they want to give the speaker some room to be alone and just spend some time talking and not have everybody asking him a million questions. So they have this special room where, you know, the speaker goes and the pastor of the church and maybe, you know, another couple guys can go in that room. And like this weekend, because Pastor Dave Kalaman was there, and Pastor Dave and I are good friends, and we talk regularly, and I get to, you know, get to be part. I don't know if you guys still read his blog at castanet.net. He writes a blog. It's a real thinking deal about, you know, politics and justice and God's, you know, will and kingdom and all that kind of stuff. And whenever he is going to print it or he's going to go to print with it, he sends it. I get to be one of the people that get to pre-read it and just give my opinions and stuff on it. So we become pretty good friends. But this weekend, I got invited to go into this room. And it was really cool because you get to sit in there and you get to, you know, have sort of this preferential treatment and you don't got to fight at the food table like everyone else. It's all there and someone's waiting on you and it's kind of cool. But here's the thing. We have that relationship with God. We get to go into His presence. We get to like be there with Him. We get to share in His life. We get to be partake of His wisdom. We get to ask questions. We get our questions answered. We get all this stuff. God is so good. He wants to engage with us, right? Because we're His bride. We're His love. We're like the one He looks at and says, that's amazing. You know, I don't know if you guys do it, but I look at my wife a lot and I think, wow, I'm just so blessed. She's such an amazing woman. And I mean, but like truthfully, Jesus looks at us like that. Kids are like, Dad, shut up. You're embarrassing us. But God looks at us like that. Jesus, we're the bride of Christ. He wants to be with us. Prayer gives us access into His presence. Prayer gives us access into His presence. See, when Jesus died on the cross, right, before that point, there was this curtain in the temple. And it was like thick curtain, heavy curtain. And only once a year would anybody ever walk behind that curtain. They would go there to make the sacrifices, and they would go there, and before they went in there, they would pray, and they would ask God to forgive every sin that they've ever committed, and they try and name them all, because if they don't get them all, they wear these little bells on the bottom of their robe, and when the bells stop jingling, it means they forgot to ask for forgiveness for some of their sins, and then they drag them out with a rope, and then the next guy goes in. And that was the extent of relationship with God. There was all this sacrifice, there was all this blood, there was all this mess involved. But when Jesus died, the Bible said that the earth grew dark and the temple, the curtain in the temple ripped, right? From the holy place to the holy of holies. That's where God dwelled. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That was where the presence of God was. That was torn, right? It was symbolic that now the thing that had held us back from relationship with God was torn away, and now we have freedom to walk into His presence, to speak to Him in prayer, to connect with God, to have God connect with us. Like when I pray this prayer before church, I pray it every day now. Whenever I gather together with a few Christians, I say, Lord, you promised that whenever we gather together, whenever we're together with Your name, with a kingdom purpose, that You be among us. Be among us today. Well, He promised us He'd be with us, that He'd never leave us, that He'd never forsake us. He tore the veil. This is unbelievable, because now we have the Holy Spirit of God, in constant communion with us. We have Him as our comforter, as our teacher, as our one that's called alongside to help us. He's there. He never leaves. I just want you to know how important this is. So, because here's the deal. Before that happened, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there was usually one man per generation. One prophet that would go before God for the people and that would go before the people for God. One person. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. These were prophets. Nathan, the prophet, who confronted David in his sin. But now, right? There was even a period of time for 400 years between the book of Malachi and when Jesus was born where there was no communication between heaven and earth. No communication at all. Nothing. And though now, right? Now we can come into the presence of God freely. Freely. We can have intimate relationship with God. But we've learned how, and we forgot why. Like, we get to be with God. We get to have a relationship with Him. Not just something we flip off, you know, like when we got 2 or 3 minutes left at the end of the day, oh yeah, God, good, God is great, thank you, whatever, you know, you're good, you're amazing, yeah. We stand up in church and we remember, oh yeah, we worship God. So we might lift our hands, we might not, but we just stand here and we acknowledge God and we're thankful for Him. But the rest of our week, we hardly talk to Him. And God has given us this ability and this power to have intimate relationship with Him. Intimate relationship. Because of the power of the cross, we can have a daily conversation with the Holy Spirit. We can talk to Him daily. We can know God, and there's nothing separating us from Him. Unless we choose to allow sin to stay in our life, and we choose to live a lifestyle of sin, and we choose to push God away, we can push God away, but God's always trying to redeem us and draw us back. We can realize the blessing that we have through Christ. I know that this, because I see it, and I'm really thankful. It makes me just like so excited to go to church Sunday morning now. But I know a lot of you have grasped hold of this already, that you're coming into an intimate relationship with God and you're enjoying His presence and you're loving Him, and that's cool. And I just think like we're just yet to see all the great things that God's going to do through that. Because we as His church, if we love Him and we have a relationship with Him, it makes it easier to love each other. And as we love each other and we care about each other deeply, and as we have, you know, relationships that are covenant-type relationships, not ones that, well, today you're a good friend because you did something for me, and tomorrow, well, you ticked me off so I don't like you anymore, but relationships that say we're in this together because of the kingdom of God and because His kingdom needs to come on earth and His will needs to be done here, those kind of relationships, we're just going to see God do amazing things. Here's what the Bible says. My friends, the blood of Jesus gives us courage. This is found in Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 25. My friends, the blood of Jesus gives us the courage to enter the most holy place by a new way that leads to life. Because before, the holy place was a scary place and it could lead to death. And this way takes us through the curtain that is Christ Himself. We have a great high priest who is in charge of God's house. So let's come near God with pure hearts. Let's draw near to God, right? Let's just take time out of our busy lives. Let's stop. Let's just focus and let's just draw near to God. Like spend and come near with pure hearts to God. And a confidence that comes from having faith. Confidence comes when we know we've experienced already. Like, you know what? Like it's easier for me now to pray for someone for a miracle now that God's healed my headaches. They're gone. God healed me. And now when I pray for people, I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see what, you know, because I have confidence. I've experienced and I've seen over and over in other people's lives. More and more as we enter that presence of God with pure hearts, we have more and more confidence as we go there that we're going to meet with Him. Let's keep our hearts pure. This is our choice, right? This is the choice we make. This isn't something God does for us. This is something that we have to decide to do. Let's keep our hearts pure. Let's do that, Let's do that. Let's be conscious and very, forward in our plans to do that. Let's keep our conscience free from evil and our bodies washed with clean water. We must hold tightly to the hope that we say is ours. After all, we could trust the one who made the agreement with us. We should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Some people have gotten out of this habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since we know that day of the Lord is getting closer. If there's ever been a time where we need to be close to God and be intimate with God, it's now. I mean, in our generation, we're living in the scariest times that we've known in our lifetime. There are some people here that lived through World War II and the times then. They probably had a scarier time than what we have now. But what we see in the world today is really unstable, right? We're seeing probably, in Europe right now, that there are some governments that are elected governments that could be toppled by anarchy. And we don't know what that will do to destabilize the world. Now, I'm not trying to cause fear, but I'm just saying we live in a time that's different than any other time in our lifetime, right? Like, we saw that whole deal go through the Middle East and through all the Arab nations, right, where government after government after government was toppled. And these seemed like good things, but it was anarchy. It was people just taking hold. And we see a spirit of anarchy in the world today, even with all these movements that are going on right now to occupy Wall Street and, this kind of stuff. All over the world, we're seeing it. Well, once it happens in one nation, we don't know what's going to happen. But what we do know right now is that the world system is failing. It's failing in a way that no one expected it could or would. Right? And in this time, we have confidence in God because we don't live in the world system, but we live in God's system. We live in God's way of doing things. That's, in all these years where the Bible's taught us to bring our tithe to the storehouse and that God would provide for our needs, like there's a purpose in that. And it's not just for you to get, like, tons and tons and tons of money, but it's to say I'm part of God's kingdom. I'm part of His way of doing things. And now the world system can fall apart, but our God's going to take care of us. He's going to care for us and take care of us, and we're going to be all right. We could trust in God. But we need to know God, and as we know God, we can have confidence in Him, and we don't need to worry about it. We could trust. We definitely live in different times, but we really need to know what to do, and the way we know how to do and what to do is to have a relationship with God. I thought the example John gave this morning with Sadie, right? Looks bad. Looks scary. There's a lot about it. But God gave them a clear picture that God's going to take this and use it for good. That it's going to be a mission trip and that people are going to come to know Jesus through it. And we're going to pray and agree with them. But it doesn't look like right. It looks different than what we think sometimes it should look. But it's God giving clarity to a situation. We, as we know Him and as we pray and we spend time with Him, God brings things into perspective for us. Right? That God can use any situation. That God could turn anything for good. Because we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. But we're not going to know that if we don't spend time with Him. Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7 says, "But when the right time finally came, God sent His own Son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might become God's children. To show that you are His children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, 'Father, my Father.' So then you're no longer a slave, but now you're a child. And since you are His child, God will give you all that He has for His children." It's amazing the relationship that we have. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. But if we don't live in relationship with God, we're going to worry and fear. If we don't know Him, we can't trust Him. So He's given us prayer for intimacy. So intimacy with God should be the highest priority in your life. Again, you know, don't be a Martha, be a Mary. Spend time. Be in that place with God. Like, you got to work. We all got to work. We got to do our thing. But our focus needs to be on relationship with God. I'll tell you, like in ministry as a pastor, there's so many times I can get so absorbed in doing work of God and losing track of God. Like there's been, since I've been a pastor in this church, the senior pastor in this church, I've struggled more in my relationship with God than any other time in my life. Because I'm so busy doing God's stuff, and sometimes I forget that I need to be with God. I need to be with Him. I need to spend time with Him and love Him and let Him love me so I know Him and I can rely and trust in Him. You know, it's really important for us. It's really, really important. So I'd encourage you to open up your hearts and talk to God. You know, bring all your stuff before Him. Ask Him. There's nothing more amazing than a life with God. Here's what the Bible says in Philippians. Always be glad because of the Lord. I'll say it again, be glad. Always be gentle with others. The Lord will soon be here. In another translation it says, because the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then, because you belong to Jesus Christ, God will bless you with peace that no one else can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think. Prayer. Bring it before God in prayer. There's other scriptures that say, you have not because you ask not. Right? Like, we got to ask. So anyway, I'm going to close it up here. We're going to continue on next week with why pray. But my challenge for you this week is pray. Just take some time every day to pray. Take some time to be in a place with God where you actually can talk to Him and where you can actually listen to what He's saying to you and you can respond to what He's saying to you. Okay? God wants to speak to you. You know, it's His will to speak to you. So let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for Your presence and Your power. Thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. We just ask You this morning, Lord, that we'll experience Your presence, Lord, even as we go into places and times of prayer. Lord, the decision is ours, and we realize that. The responsibility is ours, that You said that if we would draw near to You, that You would draw near to us. So, Lord, help us to realize the responsibility to draw near. But Lord, as we draw near, Lord, I just pray for Your presence and Your power to fill each life. Lord, just thank You that, Lord, even in this week, Lord, even as we as Your church, Lord, draw near to You, Lord, that You would draw near, Lord, and that we would sense, Lord, just a shift in our whole life. Lord, that we would sense Your presence with us. Lord, that even at times it seems like maybe the circumstances haven't changed, but Lord, our perspective of the circumstances change when we're with You. So Lord, as we draw near, we pray that You'll draw near. Lord, we just ask for You just to touch Your children today. Lord, just to work in our hearts today and to change our lives today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to give an invitation. And I want to be careful how I phrase, because one of the things I'm realizing more and more is a life with God is a life of being all out for God, right? So today, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never given your life to Him, or maybe you sort of made a prayer, but it never changed your life, you never really changed the way you live, never really encountered God, this morning I want to invite you into a life with God. This is a life that, you know, the Bible teaches us that if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to forsake everything and follow Him. That we have to, you know, leave everything behind and give our life totally to Him. When we do that, the Bible promises us that we give Him everything we have and He gives us everything that He is. And so this morning I want to invite you, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, I want to invite you to give all of your life to Him today. I really believe that if you do that, your life will never be the same. I know there's people here that if you could sit and talk to them, God has totally, totally transformed their life. God has changed their life so much. God has made their life such a great place and such a great just life to live. But these people have given themselves totally and completely to God. And I'm going to invite you to do that today. The Bible said repent, right? Turn from the way you're living and choose to live a different way. It said if we'll do that and if we'll really, you know, invite God to be a part of our life, that He would come in and He would be a part of our life. That He would change us, that He would make us into His image and He would like empower us by His Spirit, that we would never be alone again, that we would always have Him with us, that we'd be part of His family, that we'd go from being called slaves to being called His children. So, we're going to pray a prayer. And this is, you know, like, praying a prayer is awesome because we get to talk to God. And this is the starting point. When you pray this prayer, this will be the starting point of a new life with God. But then every day, you got to walk it out with Him and just trust Him and keep giving your life to Him. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask You today to come into my heart. I want to turn from the life I've been living and live a new life with You. I ask You today to wash away my sin and to set me free from sin. Help me to walk with You. Lord, I thank You that I'm now Your son or Your daughter, and that I get to walk with You, and I get to call You Father. Come into my heart today. From today and on, I want to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, can I just have the worship team come forward? As they come, if you need prayer for anything, just come on forward. We're going to pray for you. We're going to trust God that He's going to do a work in your life. Again, I just ask if you have a prayer request, if you need prayer, just come forward right away. Don't wait for 10 minutes before you come down the aisle. Just come forward and we'll agree with you. All right?